Numbers chapter 13. And believe me when I tell you that God, or when anybody tells you that when God plans a meeting, he plans everything from the beginning to the end. Amen. And so from prayer all the way down to the announcement and closing, God has a hand in it. Yeah, hallelujah. Numbers chapter 13. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. I'll be reading from verse 17, and I will stop at verse 33. Amen. Numbers 13, 17 to 33. And I read. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like. Hallelujah. He said, go up into the mountains and see what the land is like. Whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many. Whether the land they dwell in is good or bad. Whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. Now the time was the season of the first grape. So if you look at from verse 18, it says, and see what the land is looks like. Hallelujah. You know, when I was reading this, it was interesting because he said to them, go and check whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak. Okay? It says whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they inhabit are like camps or strongholds. Hallelujah. If you look at verse 1 of this same chapter, the Bible says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Amen. So the destination is to the place where he had promised their fathers that he would give to them. Hallelujah. I know we were praying. Sorry, we kept talking about you being able to imagine things and being able to see. As he said something that see as far as keeping on track. Hallelujah. He says see as far as half time. See as far. He says let your eyes take you on that journey. Amen. Hallelujah. And then the Bible saying here that God was talking to them in verse 18. He said, and see what the land is like. Okay? So he said, go and check whether the land is, whether the people there are strong or whether the people who dwell there are strong or weak, few or many. Now, in verse 1, he tells us categorically that this God, it was a done deal. This is the land that God was speaking from. Give me verse 1. This is the land that God has spoken from even before these guys were born. Hallelujah. It says, and the Lord said to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Hallelujah. So the category, the kind of people that he sent, they were not just anybody. They were leaders among the children of Israel. And he says, this is the land I am giving them. So God is saying, God told them and gave them, sent them on a test. He said, go and check whether it is a good land or a bad one, whether the people there are strong or weak, and what else. Whether, and then go back to verse 19, or let's go to verse 20. He says, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. He said, look at the second, this sentence, be of good courage. Huh? It says, be of good courage. And then it says, and bring some of the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. Now, everything he said from verse 19 up to this point, okay, in verse 20, that says, whether there are forests there or not, he was telling them, just go and check what the land is like. But that's the land he had promised that he would give them. And God does not give to his children anything that is not good. Okay? So at this point, he was saying, just go and test. and see whether my word is true or not. Hallelujah. Now, this be strong, be of good courage. Had nothing to do with their going to that land. Amen. Be of good courage. He was telling them that they should go and bring fruit. I know that by the time you want to go and bring fruit, I mean, if you want to go and spy, no problem. But then you have to bring fruit. That means that you have to take bold steps. Okay? Bold steps. I mean, where the fruits are, definitely there will be people there. It will not be fire in the forest or anything. It says, I think it's verse 17 that talked about the fact that, or I can't remember, that talks about that it was the time for the first grapes. So it's not where there will not be people that I was sending them to. They're saying, I'll bring of the fruits of the land. And they have to be of good courage. Meaning that when you are going to take possession of those fruits, you're not going to go in a timid manner. Okay? You're not going to be like, how am I going to do it? Because there will be people, there will be some sign of living around. But they have to be courageous. Amen. Let's continue. So from verse 21, it says, so they went up and spied out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob near the entrance of Hamath. And they went up through the south and came to Hebron. Iman, Sheshai, and Talmai, the descendants of Anak, were there. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. Then they came to the valley of Eshcol, and there cut down a branch which was with one cluster of grapes, and they carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshcol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there, and they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. Amen. Hallelujah. So they brought back a testimony of the fact that through the land flows with milk and honey. Okay? And then they put a bot in their testimony. By the way, this Toby will be chasing me after service now. Amen. Hallelujah. What you see is what you get. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So they came back and said, okay, everything, land flowing, we can only. Says, nevertheless, the people who dwell in there, they are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And they dwell in the land, blah, blah, blah. Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea, blah, blah, blah. Amen. Hallelujah. These people, they came back and said the land flows truly, meaning that they were aligning with what God said about the land. Okay? And you go to them, go and find out whether the people are strong or weak. Okay? So truly, the land is flowing with milk and honey. And then they go to a point and say, but the people there, they are what? Say the Amalekites dwell, the people there, nevertheless, the people dwelling there are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Hallelujah. And moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The descendants of Anak are like, they are giants. Okay? Now, they said the cities are fortified. Abi, did they go prepare for war? No, they went to spy. And as fortified as those cities were, they came back with fruit. Hallelujah. They were not walking on the periphery of the cities to get the fruits. The Bible said they went to the valley. You know what valley is? So there are mountains or islands all around. And then they went down into the valley and then they came back. That's where they got the Valley of Eshcol. That's why I said they got the fruits, right? Now, if they had paused to process everything they were saying, they would have known that the instruction that God gave them was be courageous, be of good courage, and bring back fruits. Amen. So in the midst of the strength that they said these people had, okay, they forgot when they were giving the report that as strong as they said they were, and as fortified as they said the little cities were, they still were able to come back with fruit. It's like me telling you now that you should go into government house and bring me fruit in government house. And then you come back and say, that place is certified. It's very, they're very strong people. But you came, you went in, and you came out. That's not a fortified place. Amen. If something is truly fortified, there will not be an edge, a gap in the edge. It's like when I tell you that something is sealed. And then you say, Pastor, why? This thing is sealed, but it's leaking. Then it's not sealed. But it's their own report. Because they were going to put fear in the minds of the people. They were losing, they were not processing things properly. These things that happened, they took the fruits and they left. And none of them was missing. And it was a journey of 40 days. Abi? So if you go to cantonments, whatever, those places where they keep military people, if you look at the entrance, you will see elevation. And guards, they walk on top of that elevation. They are not on top of that elevation to look at the people by defense. It's surveillance. You get what I'm saying? Meaning that they will not be surveying. Their responsibility is not this gate. Their responsibility is to take care of things from afar off. So that if they need to gather more people at the gate before whatever they are seeing comes, they will have done that. Now, for a city that is fortified, how they did not see these children of Israel still remains a mystery. Amen. And how these men came back with fruit should still also be a mystery to everyone, except to God that sent them. Because he said, he was telling them to go and do something daring. When in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, when he was talking to, when he was going to commission Joshua, what did he say? Be strong and of good courage. Now, that's your courage and that your strength is for you to be able to take steps in the midst of uncertainties and what? Things that you do not know. If you are going to be courageous, you are going to rely solely on God. And what will be pushing you is God's instruction. So be of good courage. This good courage that they needed was to carry out that instruction, come back with fruits. And truly, once they were bold enough to go, they had enough courage to come back with fruits. So the other things that they were saying was that because they lost, they got distracted. Amen. If they truly, I'm not saying there are no giants, but if those giants truly would see through everything, then they would have picked all of them out in wherever they were or however they were running under the whatever. Because it was a fortified city. Amen. So, this is what to say. Let me find a way to say. Okay, so there was this building, okay? And there was these fortified men, armed all of them, and then they came to that building. I don't know what they came to do. The church came to that building. And the building was about as high, a high building. They came to the building, and one man on the topmost floor of the building that they were in stepped to the balcony of the building. And then saw, looked down and said, why is there so many armed men around? They're all armed. And then he looked further down. It was a bridge. And he saw armed men on the bridge as well. Meanwhile, the people that those armed men on the bridge were kind of protecting. Okay, so let's say this is the bridge. This is the building where the man saw everybody down there. So he's here and he's looking down, saw everybody. That's the bridge. They were commissioning things around that chair. And then they were there. So those ones were to make sure that they were scanning. But this was this man, right up here, and looking down at everybody. If you were a sniper, you would take out And then what is those people? That's what I'm trying to let you see. So in the mind of those people, they have fortified that area. You cannot outsmart God. Whether you are on the side or are against God, the two parties cannot outsmart God. So if there's an instruction from him, it takes courage to carry it out. Hallelujah. Amen. Where did we stop? Okay. So, then verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Now, Caleb did not say that what these people were saying, that they are all lies. He did not say that. Everybody, two different sides of the coin. Now, you know that if I, this bottle of water Mr. Sajeri has. Ah, by the way, Setman said I should greet all of you. Setman, I've greeted them. And everybody online, Setman says I should greet you. So please tell him that I greeted you. He's the one that's supposed to be preaching today. But he had to step out in the bathroom. Okay, so see this bottle. Can you see that it's half full? Huh? Thank you. There are two sides to that bottle. Okay? You will say it's half full. And somebody will say it's half empty. Okay? Now both of them will make use of the second part of that half that they are seeing. So if one is thirsty, very thirsty, he sees an half full bottle of water, he's going to go for that half full bottle of water because he has a quench to test. A test to quench. So he's going to take that. He's going to see that there is water. That's what he will see. Huh? To the one that has no need for water, just wants to have that bottle and water, he will say, "You know, I don't want this bottle. It's half empty." That's what he will do. Now, he's not seeing beyond the fact that it's empty. No, so if I want to go on a journey, for instance, I will not take a bottle of water that is half full by the beginning of my journey. I'd rather take one that is empty, and I'll now program it in my head that this one that is empty, let's assume I'm going to Ibadan. Program in my head that as long as I'm between Lagos and Moi, I don't need to take water. So that for the second, that other part of the journey, or from here to Ogiri, I won't take water. So half of the journey, I won't take water. Then I continue, I get to McPherson University, I take water. I still have some water left. Then I get to the last toll gate and I take water. Okay? Now, if I start my journey with an half full bottle, I am not going to, when I get to Ogiri, my first point, I will not take so much because I want to keep more. That's how I do. If you are like my brother, if he's my brother, he will take that water when he gets inside the car and say, "That water will take me to Ibadan." That's what he will do when we're growing up. So if he has 1,000 naira and he wants to buy a pair of shoes that is 950 naira and he also has to eat, he would rather buy the pair of shoes of 950 naira at 50 naira, then come and meet me and say, "I want to eat." And I said, "We both have 1,000 naira. What happened to your 1,000 naira?" He said, I bought shoes. I said, "Fine. Then that's your food." That's what I tell him. That's your food. So my own 1,000 naira, I won't buy shoe. So when you see the two of us, you see that one is hip-hop. The other one is looking like, God help us. I don't have a problem. But on my inside, me, I have food. He does not have food. He has food. And up to today, that's how the two of us are. Interesting. The day I copied him, that's the day immigration people said, "Sit down. You are looking strange." So I was like, you know, when we were growing up, we were He would dress like the way Collins is dressed, cap, everything, and then wear jacket like this, and ankle boot. And he was always wearing wear Timberland and all that. So I was thinking I was going to go. My first time in the United States. So I bought Timberland. I'm going to the US. I bought Timberland. And then I bought jeans, stone wash, baggy. And I was jacket like this. I was going. I was not used to it. When I got to immigration, he said, okay, hold on. The rest of the story, let's continue. Since that day, you cannot tell me anything. You can't tell me anything that I wear ankle boots. It's not possible. It's not. I would rather wear my shoe. Just say it's not for me. Amen. Okay. So I'm saying. So there were two sets of people. Some people saw. I mean, they were aligning with everything. This one, okay. This one, okay. And then we have come back with the fruits. But these people are strong. But they forgot that in the midst of those people that are strong, they picked the fruits. Hallelujah. I'm not saying that they saw 50 people and then went in the midst too, but that city was fortified and they were able to take the fruit and go back, but they did not see it. When Caleb was speaking, he said, what did he say? Then Caleb quieted the people because everybody started getting agitated. And that's why you have to be careful with what people say and not processing things. You cannot afford to be distracted in anything you are doing. You know, I've told you before that when people are playing football, all the players on the field, all of us carry a whistle to the field. Eh? All the players on the field, they know the whistle of the referee. They would differentiate it from the whistle of the fans. And so there's nothing, no matter what the fans blow, they know when the referee is blowing. Nobody can say, sorry, I didn't know that it's not you that blew. I thought it was, they never say that. They never get distracted. Maximum concentration. So in the midst of that, everybody was getting agitated. Verse 1, very critical. God said, this is the land that I am giving you. Right? And then he chose elders. Elders. Hallelujah. So if it was just Omo Ijo that he chose, maybe the congregation or anybody in the congregation that came back, and I was telling the people that, look, they are giants, they are everything, maybe the people would not be bothered. Now they were the elders. Okay, the people that they take instruction from, and the people that they have an understanding that, oh, these guys, they are very close to God. Hallelujah. And then he quieted and says, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. Hallelujah. What's the next verse? But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Amen. This is where you know that they are lying. If the land devours its inhabitants, so who are the people that they saw there? You know what devour means? That the land consumes its inhabitants. Who are the inhabitants? The people that live there. And you're not saying that in that same land that devours the inhabitants, there are men, all the people there are stronger. Contradictory reports. All because they could not see what God wanted them to see. Hallelujah. Romans 15 verse 4. These stories were written. They were written for our learning. Amen. Verse 33. There, they said, we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so were we were in their sight. He says, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. People that they never came in contact with. You know when you come in contact with somebody? So I'm going to, I come here now, and I go out. I've not come in contact with anybody. If I come in here now and I see Mrs. Sajiri and we have a word or two, then I have contact with her, right? Now, all these things that they were saying, they did not have contact with anybody. Yet, they were able to come back and say, that we were in our own sight, grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. Hallelujah. Caleb quieted the people, and he said to them, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." Let's go to chapter 14, verse 6. So everybody, so after Caleb tried to calm everybody down, they caused a distraction, okay? And then in verse 5, it says, "Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of children of Israel." It says, "But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them.'" Amen. Hallelujah. Two men saw that with God in the midst of everything, every other thing, every mountain either becomes a plain or becomes surmountable. So these ones have caused Moses and Aaron to be like, okay, because the people were already crying, "Why did you bring us this far?" And then Joshua, by the way, you know his original name is not Joshua. So you know. You don't know. Pastor Tebuloluwa, please, on Sunday, write it down. Ask them. You know his original name is not Joshua. All right. Okay. So Joshua is telling them, I say, "Look, please give me my sermon." He said, "The land we went through is an exceedingly good land." Okay, next. "And for if the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." Okay, next. "Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." He says, no, please go back to verse 9. He says, "Nor fear the people of the land." That's one thing, that fear was not there when they took the fruits. Hallelujah. When you are courageous, it does not mean the absence of danger. Hallelujah. It only means that you have blotted your mind to see danger. So, one of the world leaders, they said that his understanding of danger is very, very low. So, if you say something is dangerous, it doesn't come to him as it will come to you. You know, if I show you, what will I show you now that will scare you? What will scare you? If I show you a machine gun, for instance, right now, and I just pull out the machine gun, everybody will be scared. If that guy sees a machine gun, to him, it's like you're showing biscuits. So his propensity for danger is so high. Like, if a bomb is ready, war to him is like you're playing Ludo. Huh? He says, "Do not fear for the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us." Their protection did not depart when Joshua said this thing. Their protection left them when they got to that land and they could take those fruits. And none of them could understand that it was God that was allowing them to take the fruits. For all that they saw was a fortified city. And they could say that, look, it's fortified. Everybody there, this is a land that is consuming its inhabitants. Yet they went and they came back. And they said it's a land that devours the people that live there. Amen. Joshua and Caleb understood one thing. Isaiah chapter 59. They understood that in the midst of anything, God in the midst of it solves all your problems. Isaiah 59 verse 1, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know this thing is a song. You know it's a hymn. Abi, you know that hymn? Don't worry. I'll teach you another day. So how many things have you missed tonight? The name of Joshua and this hymn. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 60. So what you see is very important. What you see is what feeds your soul. And you know when we were praying, that everyone was talking about the fact that Abel's offering, it was not about whether it was of blood or his fat was fat. It was about faith. Abby? Did you remember that when she was praying? When she read Hebrews chapter 11? Isaiah chapter 60. So what you see, it feeds your soul. And when it feeds your soul, it either helps your faith or it drops it. Hallelujah. So those guys did not see God in the middle of all they went for 40 days. They did not see it. They went and they came back. And they did not understand that their going and coming back was God. Caleb understood that we are well able to possess it. And then Joshua put the eyes in. I said, as long as God has given it to us, it belongs to us. Isaiah 60 verse 19. It says, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. But the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Your sun shall no longer go down, nor shall your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and the days of your mourning shall be ended. Also, your people shall be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Hallelujah. Verse 22 is my emphasis. Amen. A little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. That's what Joshua understood of God. That's the revelation he had. He says, if God gives it to us, and what's God saying here? He says, I, the Lord, will hasten it in its time. Amen. And that time, when he sent there, he said, this is what I am giving the children of Israel. Meaning that everything about that land that they thought could ever bring fear was already theirs because God had placed it in their hands. He only needed them to take cognizance of the fact that if God says it, he will do it. And that's why it was the elders that were sent. Abi, if you are going to cross the road with children, you are not going to put a 5-year-old first to cross. Maybe Gen Z's will do that. But you're not going to put a 5-year-old to cross first. It's the adult that is meant to cross first. In fact, if you're on this side, if the vehicles are coming from this side, the ideal thing is that it's the adult that will be here and the children will be here and the adult will pilot them. Amen. That's the person that is leading. And then, go back to verse, where did we start from? 19. Tick-tock, tick-tock. So it says, the sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give light to you. Hallelujah. So the order of things will change when verse 22 comes into play. Because everything from that you see in verse 22 starts from this verse 19. He says, at this point, the normal thing for you is to expect that the sun will be your light. And then when it's nighttime, it's the moon that will give brightness. He says, God will suspend the natural laws when it is your time. So what you should be seeing once he gives you an instruction is not about the physical things that you can comprehend. Hallelujah. Amen. It's about God that has given the instruction. And then he continues, he says, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light. So at the center of it all is you that I see. Is you that I see. He says, but, meaning that forget about the sun, forget about the moon. Hallelujah. If you live in a cloudy place, and the cloud covers the moon, what will happen? There'll be darkness. But he's saying here that at this point, the Lord will give you, will be to you an everlasting light and your God, your glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Your God, your glory. So there's going to be a problem if you don't know him. Or if he's absent in all your thoughts and the things that you can see. Look at the story of Abraham. Time is going. Genesis chapter 13. This is what God told Abraham. Genesis 13. And this is how a picture of faith. This is how faith paints a picture for us. Genesis 13, and we're going to read from verse 15. At the center of it all is you that I see. Okay, let's take it from verse 14. Genesis 13 from 14. It says, and the Lord said to Abram, after Lord had separated from him, lift up your eyes now. But you know what happened between him and Lot? Okay, and then Lot chose the choicest part. So everything looked like everything is gone, right? It was going to start from scratch, right? That's after, so the Bible is saying, after Lot had gone. So at that time, Abraham's sun is no longer shining. The moon is no longer brightness. Then God spoke to him and said, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Amen. Hallelujah. So God says, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Hallelujah. Where are the children of Abraham today? So did Abraham walk that physical distance? No. It was a picture of faith. So what he did was to stay where he was. God said, look from where you are. Lift up your eyes and look from where you are. And he said, as far as you can walk, I will give it to you. Amen. It wasn't a physical thing. And as I said, look, what you see in your eyes permeates your soul. And then it spoils, either it will spoil your faith or it will drop it. Now, the instructions he got from God was what he was simply following. And he said, God said, look where from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. Please continue. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever. So if it's me and... So this is a lesson from Abraham, that he did not limit it to how far he could see. In his spirit, he saw more. He you look at it like, as far as where God can expand to, is what I am seeing. Amen. Hallelujah. In Matthew chapter 6, the Message version, Matthew 6, 23, 20, 22, 23, the Message translation. It says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body fills up with light. If you live squinting eyed in greed and distrust, your body is a musty cellar. If you put the blinds on your windows, what a dark life you will have. It says, your eyes are windows into your body. If you open your eyes wide in wonder and belief, your body will be full of light. Hallelujah. Jesus told his disciples and said, look, okay, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. If you have not thought of it before, think of the one we just read in Genesis chapter 13. All God told Abraham was, look, northward, eastward, westward, and southward, as far as you can see. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, it's not possible. Christ knew that you will exist. And then he said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you paint a picture of faith in the Spirit, hallelujah, it will come to fruition. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 27, the Bible records that it says it was by faith. Hebrews 11, 27, the New Living Translation, says it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Hallelujah. Amen. He kept on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Joshua's pointing the whole of the children of Israel that, look, as long as God has given this to us, that's where his eyes are, on God. And God does not promise and not do. He does not say and not make it come to pass. Hallelujah. And in this case also, he's saying here that it was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. Okay? He kept right on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So when things are happening around you and everything looks like it's not gelling, I know it's not proper English, but you're not able to bring the pieces together. It's because there's a veil. Hallelujah. So those first set of people, okay, they had a very thick veil and they could not see because they were not seeing God. Second Corinthians chapter 3 and from verse 13. It says, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that children could not look steadily at the end. We'll go to verse 16. He says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. You know why? You are no longer perceiving things as man. We have read that with God nothing shall be impossible. So when you turn to God, what you are seeing is not what your physical senses can comprehend anymore. Because now you are seeing through God's eyes. Hallelujah. Next verse. Now the Lord is Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. So what you are seeing is what you are being transformed to. Amen. And it's not a physical thing. He says, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. When you begin to see things from God angle, we're going to see this. So when you see things from God's angle, it means that in a situation, you look at it and you take it from God's perspective. If you take it from man's perspective, things will be difficult. Because you will not be able to go beyond your own physical limitation. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why it's good if you have a friend. Let your friend be taller than you. That's what they'll tell you. So if you want to reach to the floor, you that is short, you quickly reach to the floor. You know, when you play certain games like football, they don't want you very tall because you need to be quick, right? So if you see a very tall footballer, you will always see that compared to his other guys, he's a bit slower because their reflexes are not as sharp. That's okay. So, but the one that is short, he's able to do it. But when Wala comes and you have to reach up, who will help you to reach up? He's the one that is tall. Hallelujah. Because they put you on his shoulder. In all these things, he's saying that when we see through God, then there's no veil. There is no limitation anymore. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, his own also does in like manner." Hallelujah. So Christ is telling you that everything that he does, he puts God in front of him. Verse 21. And it says, "For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so, the Son gives life to whom he will." He says, "What I see the Father do, I do." Meaning that in any situation, when situations comes, what he does is that he puts God in the middle of it. And it's what he sees God do that he will do in that situation. It is not motivational speaking. It is scriptures. Hallelujah. Because that's where we get our encouragement and our power from, the Spirit of God. If you look at Proverbs 27 and verse 19, it says, "As in water, face reflects what face. So a man's heart reveals the man." Hallelujah. So when you look in water, you see face. So when you look into a man's heart, it will tell you who the man is. Hallelujah. That's why what defiles a man is what comes out of him. That's how you look into a man's heart. I'm not going to see into your heart. But if I prompt you to say something, right? I will get a glimpse of what is in your heart. Hallelujah. So if I punch you on the stomach, and the first thing you shout is "Ore Oda" or something, I know the kind of heart you have. Yeah? Because if I punch you, you can tell me, "God bless you." You won't even bother to say, "Why are you punching me?" "Oh, God bless you. Thank you. I'm okay." Because sometimes I see people on the road. Somebody will drive. Yeah, they just start cursing. That has revealed the man's heart to you. Amen. And people's hearts are very important when you want to gather with them and do spiritual activities. Very important. When I was from 22 years ago, when I started working, we would gather in the morning. They put us in a hall like this. I would gather in the morning. All of us are idle. We get there as early as 7. Then we will start gathering, 7:30. Then one day, he called to us. Instead of us just being idle, instead of us idling, let's pray. So when we come in the morning, and the people around, all the offices, they just keep us there. We just sit down there and be praying. And then we'll be praying for the company that has gathered us inside all and has not given us work. I will pray. So when the company started work, when things started showing up and you start, that was the time Brother Yemi and I were there. I think Sister Ronketu was there with us. In the morning, once things started, we did not forget what we were doing when there was nothing. So in the morning, we'll come. And you know what happened? Even the general manager and all the executive, they will come and join us. And then we'll pray. But we don't pray when we are supposed to be working. No. Don't say, Pastor, anyone used to pray. Well, yeah. If work is starting at 8 o'clock, we pray at 7:30. Are you getting me? It's not at 8 o'clock. Now it's like, okay, we are praying. And then, no. Your job is a gift from God. And God understands the place of a time for the job. So if you know you want to give God praise, please start it before that job starts. And when you think you have break time, you can go and have a chat with God. Hallelujah. But don't be found wanting at your desk. He says, as water, face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man. And the last thing I want us to look at is that in John, yes, let me go back to John chapter 5. I will now take verse 20 with verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son, and the Son shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, but whatever he sees the Father do, for whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. And when Joshua was saying that if God wills and he gives to us, he will give it to us. What he will be seeing is God has given this to me. It cannot fail. Amen. The men that rely on faith. And faith is not an accident. Hallelujah. Never think that accidentally or I was lucky. Faith is not an accident. It's a deliberate thing. Bible, if you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and go and read it again, it says by faith. Everything that was mentioned there was done by faith. Faith is an action word. Hallelujah. And it's a deliberate thing. Amen. It takes faith to be obedient. And it takes faith to take bold steps in God. So if you wear spectacles, if you wear spectacle glasses, and your spectacles are black, what you'll be seeing? everything will be dark. And if you wear blue spectacles, everything will be blue. Everything will be blue. Amen. And if it's yellow, what you see is yellow. Why? Because your eyes, they feed your soul. So if you're in any situation and it's God, you see, if God is telling you to move out of that area you are, that's what you will do. You not sit there and say, with God, nothing shall be possible. And God is telling you, move out. I was watching, I think it was Archbishop Benson Dawsa. He was doing a demonstration. So he placed a bottle of water on the floor. And then he started praying. This water come to my mouth. He started praying. And then, after a while, he stopped. He now told one man, he said, give me this cup. I want to drink. So the man gave him, and he took water. And then he laughed, and he said, which one is easier? You command the man to bring me a cup, or to be praying that water should jump into your mouth, when you can simply reach out and take the cup. Some people, all they do is they will say they are praying. And when there's time to do action, they will never do it. They will say, I've believed God and I've prayed that the water should come to my mouth. You can't reach it, but someone is close by. And you don't have faith enough to say, tell this man, pick this and give me, and I will do it. You know what the set man was telling us? That he told the cult. He told them that go and bring the cult. And when if anybody tells you anything, tell them that the Lord, everything is still boils down to faith. Let's not make people laugh at us. Hallelujah. Because even those people that we are reading in the book of Joshua, as much as God has given it to them, he still took them going out and laying hold of what God has given to them. They did not sit back and say, God has given it to us. And then when God tells them, go and conquer, then they will sit down and then say, you have given us. It doesn't work like that. You do what you see the Father do. And you act on what the Father tells you to act. Isaiah 59, is it 60, verse 22. Be shut down for the day. I'm going home. He says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Let's rise on our feet. I don't know what you're seeing, but see a God that has no limits. If you see a God that cannot be limited, that's the God that we serve. And that's what you should be seeing when things happen around you. That there's a God that cannot be limited. And so there's no condition or situation that cannot turn around. It says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. Amen. Thank him, because he's going to give you that courage to understand the things of the Spirit and to be able to walk in the light of the things that he shows us, that our eyes of understanding will be enlightened. Light of God will come in, it will flood our hearts, and it will give us peace indeed from within. Father, we thank you and we give you praise. We magnify your name because you are God and you are King. Thank you, Father, we give you all the praise. I don't know what you need to see God in. Hallelujah. But understand that report you are seeing, you are not seeing well. Hallelujah. Because in the midst of it, God is still there. Hallelujah. Those ones that came back with a bad report, even in their report, there were loopholes in the fact that there was God in it. Hallelujah. They brought back food from a fortified city. How did it happen? They did not see that it was God's hand. Hallelujah. Said God. God said to them, be of good courage. Go and bring back food. Thank God for what he's doing through you. Hallelujah. That indeed the instructions he gives, when it's time to launch out, you truly will launch out as you walk in faith, as you walk with him. When it's time to act on his word, then we are acting. Hallelujah. Reposka talida rabosa kabum batise talida limbraska tata te debroska talida edebosa tabrumba tenga labroska talida broske deya. Father, we give you praise. Linka tanda boska talida rambasaka ya eboska talida rabanska tabose te diga edeboska talinga tapinga labroska taliga rabasa deya eka patinka lida dabrose kediza dabaska tatinga rabose deya. God's word shows us the will of God. Hallelujah. So we cannot run away from the scriptures. Once we see it in the scriptures, and we ask of God, we are able to transpose it into our present time. No matter how difficult the situation is, it cannot be insurmountable with God. Father, we give you praise, we thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, because we see clearly. because we are seeing through your eyes. Hallelujah. Thank you because we understand when to act. Hallelujah. Because we understand that you are God and with you nothing shall be impossible. And thank you because only at your instruction do we move. Amen. Because it is important that it is at your word that we move. Hallelujah. Because you say that it is in your time that you will hasten it when in its time. When it's time for something, you will hasten. Hallelujah. Thank you, everlasting King of glory. Because you crush time for us. Hallelujah. You elongate the day for us. Hallelujah. As far as we need it to be elongated, you will elongate for us. As far as we need time to be crushed, you will crush for us. As time as we need to redeem time, you redeem it for us. Hallelujah. We give you all the praise, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.